The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
As evidenced in his Winter Walks episode on BBC4 last night, my next guest is a firm believer that few things clear the fog of the mind like a rambling winter walk. It can act like a reset button when negativity begins to overwhelm. He's a vocal campaigner on mental health, as well as a writer, consultant and communicator. Alistair Campbell, good morning.
Hello, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Winter walks, I mean, I'm looking out my window because I'm broadcasting from home. It's a lovely, crisp, cold morning, and I'd love to be out there myself, but needs must. You are an avid walker.
Well, I'm an avid outsider. So in that I walk, I run, I cycle, I like getting out in the outdoors. And I do think that nature is an incredibly important part of our kind of well-being. I really like getting out into wide open spaces. I post my pictures of my tree of the day every day. And so the TV program, actually, Pat, you should, I don't know if there's an Irish version of it, but I promise you it's a wonderful format. You literally just walk on your own with a selfie stick with a 360-degree camera. So those shots that you saw, most of those were from a drone that's following you, or from a selfie stick, which you can literally carry in your hand. I mean, the technology is fantastic, and it's just it's almost like interviewing yourself, and it's a kind of strange sensation. But because you're doing it all day, you literally do it all day. You really, really get into it. And I find myself probably being a bit more open about myself to myself than maybe I would be to an interviewer, even you.
Now, do you tend to go to really isolated places? Because I can imagine walking around the parks near me, for example, or even up on Killiney Hill and talking to a selfie stick, they'd say, he's finally lost it.
Well, the other thing, yeah, I wouldn't do that unless I was making a TV programme. I don't normally walk with a selfie stick. But no, it's quite interesting. You bump into people and, you know, so I bumped into a few people, but it was very, very isolated. It was also, you know, it was when COVID was at its height. So you were, you know, it was very, very quiet. I think I probably bumped into about three or four people all day. But I think even, you know, I think urban walking is not, I think I actually like walking around, you know, London. But there's nothing better than getting out into these vast open spaces. And, you know, the thing I'd say about your country and mine is that we are absolutely blessed with having so many different sorts of incredible landscapes very, very close together. You know, you can walk for a few miles and it changes. And I think people saw that over the course of the film last night. It wasn't just kind of one landscape. There were many, many, many changing landscapes in a few miles.
Now, you have very publicly talked about struggling with depression over the years. When did you discover that this kind of open space, be it cycling, walking, I believe you do cold water swimming in the winter as well, that this kind of thing actually is therapeutic for mental health?
I mean, I guess probably instinctively, I think it might be that I've sort of vaguely had a feeling of it all my life. I've always had that sense of, you know, a sense of almost kind of relief and liberation when you get out into green spaces. So my dad was a vet in Yorkshire, which is where we were filming the film last night. And I think that's probably my childhood. And then all of my holidays were in Scotland, usually on farms and Hebrides. And I think I've always had that sense of a real love of beautiful landscapes. I think it's taken me a long, long time, probably into my 40s, before fully understanding the importance of the link between the physical and the mental. And even though, as I said on the program, I still get depression, it definitely helps me deal with it better, the fact that I'm physically fit. And the cold water swimming, and I was in there this morning with Fiona. We were in there for 10 minutes probably. It was 5 degrees. It was cold, and it takes you a long time to recover to get really warm again. But you feel, honestly, you feel better for the rest of the day.
Now, one would think that maybe being confined, as all of us have been from time to time during the pandemic, would be bad for mental health, maybe turn people in on themselves. How have you found the confinement that sometimes you had to observe?
I think I've been pretty lucky, really. I mean, I did have two or three depressive spells in lockdown, and I also had one manic spell, which wasn't very good. But generally, I've actually quite enjoyed it because, you know, I'm really, really lucky. For a start, it was quite nice to discover that the person that I've been with for 42 years, I actually liked being with her right throughout. I mean, we barely had a row. And it was just sort of, that was quite nice. I loved being with the dog the whole time. I loved actually just being able to say no the whole time was nice. You know, when people wanted to say, well, no, I can't come out, that was quite nice. And I think I needed to kind of calm down a bit and stop traveling so much. And so I found it better, I think, than a lot of people did. And I've met people who found it incredibly difficult, and it's had a terrible effect on their mental health. But, you know, me personally, it's not been that bad.
Now, you're sitting on the sidelines of politics, observing everything, and you see Boris Johnson's, the lustre, I suppose, has faded on his halo, even among those of his avid supporters. You've had a reshuffle on the Labour Party side under Keir Starmer. So, you know, are you sanguine about the political situation when this COVID pandemic finally passes?
No, not at all. I mean, I wake up every morning in a complete rage about it. I just think we've got the worst possible government, the worst possible prime minister. I'm glad that Labour have strengthened. It seems to me that the team that Keir Starmer announced is a lot stronger than what he had before. And I think that's good. But, you know, Labour still have an awful fight because, you know, if you just think about all the things that this government has done, that whether it's Brexit going badly, whether it's playing fast and loose with the peace process in Northern Ireland, whether it's the corruption in COVID, whether it's pulling out of Afghanistan and promising to help the people there and then doing next to nothing, whether it's their failure and indeed their lack of humanity on the migrant crisis, the situation in the Channel, whether it's, you know, schools, whether it's hospitals, whether it's a failure on violent crime, there's so much going wrong. And yet Johnson's, you say the luster's come off. I think, I mean, I'm never quite sure he had a halo, but the luster's come off. But, you know, they're still, to my mind, doing way better in the polls than they should be. I was talking to somebody yesterday who follows the political scene very, very closely. Told me he voted Lib Dem at the next election. The last election, it will vote Labour at the next one, but still thinks the Tories are going to win. Now, I don't know what I think about public opinion, but what I do know is that Labour has to do better than it's been doing in terms of holding this government to account and exposing them for what they are. So is people can look at the government and think, well, the government's not very good. And I don't know, I don't mean anybody who says this is a good government, but then they've got to look across the benches and say, well, there's the government in waiting. And that's why I hope that the reshuffle is the start of a new chapter.
We saw that some people from the Labour side who had voted Labour all their lives, because of the misinformation about the boon that Brexit would bring, voted Tory. Whether or not they still believe that kind of stuff, that it'll be all right at the end of the day, I don't know. But there are many people disillusioned, you know, middle of the road Tories disillusioned with Johnson. So is there going to be an interesting situation where middle of the road Tories will move to Labour perhaps, and hard, you know, left Labour might vote for the Brexiteers on the Tory side?
I'm not sure about that. Look, there has always been a kind of rather strange symbiotic tie-up between the hard, you know, the far right and the far left. That, you know, they have a shared interest in maybe, you know, damaging a Labour Party that just wants to be kind of, you know, sensible, strong on the economy, strong on public services. And, you know, I think that I do think it's wide open. I really do think it's there for the taking. But on Brexit, you know, even the most adamant, avid pro-Brexit people from the referendum, you never hear them talking about how well it's going, because they know that it's not. they might, you know, the best they can do is to say, well, you know, the people voted for it, therefore we have to kind of make it happen. But nobody pretends that it's going well. And, you know, when you talk about whether I'm sanguine, the thing I'm really, really not sanguine about is every time I see that quotes, Lord, close quotes, David Frost talking about, you know, the protocol and, you know, and then I look back at what he said about Europe when he was working for the Scotch Whiskey Association. It just makes my blood boil. They are absolutely playing fast and loose with what's happening over in your side of the world. And I was in Killarney, Pat, a few weeks ago, and it was fascinating. I did a trip to Belfast, and then I was in Killarney, and it was really interesting to me to see the extent to which people on both sides now, Northern Ireland and the Republic, are just kind of, it's almost like they're just getting on with things despite the UK government. And they're just, you know, and I'll tell you what, you'll be interested in this. I did a show of hands at the Chamber of Commerce in Belfast. So it's the Northern Ireland Chamber of Commerce. You're not talking about, you know, the most revolutionary outfit in the world. And when I did the show of hands, is Brexit going well? 100% said no. Could the protocol work? They thought 80% said yes. Do they trust the British government to make it work? 100% no. Do they trust the Irish government? And I specifically mentioned Coveney and Varadkar, and it was 80% yes. I mean, that was...
My goodness.
Honestly, that was the Chamber of Commerce. It was a really, really... And then down when I went to the meeting in Killarney, you know, it was a very similar thing of where they basically think, well, look, you know, there's not much we can do about the British government. We've just got to get on and try and make things work despite them.
On that note, and perhaps a positive note emanating from the Chamber of Commerce in Belfast, Alistair Campbell, thank you very much once again for joining us as an advocate of that winter walk. Get out there. It'll do you good.